I will take as my text a portion of verse number 4. Romans chapter number 1. Beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 4, the Bible says at the first of the verse, and declared to be the Son of God with power, the last of the verse says, by the resurrection from the dead. Declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. I want to deal some with this subject, reasonable beliefs. Now, I've dealt in the past with this idea of following doctrine to its reasonable end, its logical end. Sometimes you may see a doctrine in the Word of God and follow it to its logical end. Sometimes you may hear a doctrine, a strange doctrine, and follow it to its logical end and find out that the end is not good. But we're to follow doctrine to its logical end. In the book of Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 18, come now, let us reason together, thus saith the Lord. The Lord calls on people to reason together. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if the dead rise not. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 deals with this idea, if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised from the dead. And if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is vain, our faith is in vain, and it continues on. And so we can follow both good doctrines and bad doctrines to their logical end. In this case, we might consider these words, that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, as it might be said, stood trial. I want to use some of those terms that we may hear in reference to legal things, but use them very loosely, because I think they were observed very loosely in that situation. During the so-called trial of Jesus Christ, the prosecution had some problems. Now, it seemed as though they were having trouble getting a conviction of Jesus Christ. Number one, the court was not a court of justice, but a court of conviction. It was a court that was convened in order to convict Jesus Christ. But even with that, they had trouble getting a conviction. Number two, the judge and jury were out to convict the prisoner. Both the judge and the jury, as it might be said, were out to convict the prisoner. Reminded me of the old words, I'll be the judge and I'll be the jury. I'll try the whole case and condemn you to death. And sometimes there might be a situation where a judge and jury is set to condemn, to convict someone. And in this case, they were set to convict Jesus Christ. Number three, the prisoner had been taken into custody without proper grounds for arrest and retention. Custody, I use that word loosely. The word custody, we might think about care, but in this case, we might think about custody like a rabbit may be in the custody of a wolf's jaws. They took Jesus Christ into custody, and of course, even in custody, and was not protective custody, there were cruelties against Jesus Christ even while he was in custody. Then number four, the defendant did not have a defense counsel present, and he did not even act as his own lawyer. Now, sometimes it might be that a person wants a lawyer present, and wants a defense counsel present. Then sometimes a person may decide he wants to act as his own lawyer. But in the case of Jesus Christ, he had no lawyer there. He had no defense counsel. And Jesus Christ was on trial and did not even rebuke the people for their saying, making false accusations against him. So, even with all of that stacked against Jesus Christ, still, they had trouble getting a conviction. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter number 14, verses 15 through 58. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bore false witness against him, bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." But neither so did their witness agree together. Now, I believe they were trying to keep up some kind of a masquerade of justice. They were trying to keep some semblance of justice. And yet, even then, with the things stacked so heavily against Jesus Christ, they were having trouble getting that conviction. They had people that testified against Jesus Christ, and yet their testimonies did not agree one with another. Now, the Bible says in the book of Mark, in chapter number 14, and beginning with verse 60, "And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" Now, up to this point, the prosecution had failed. In fact, even without having to face a defense, they had been failing. And the Bible says, "But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Now, one of the things that you might notice in this time of so-called trial is the silence of Jesus Christ. Here a very straightforward question was asked about or of Jesus Christ, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 26, verse 63, this of course is another passage, "But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus Christ did answer. Mark chapter number 14, verses 62 through 64. "And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses?" Now, the question was asked Jesus Christ very straightforwardly. Was he the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus Christ said very straightforwardly, I am. That is one of the times in the Scriptures where Jesus Christ said very straightforwardly that he was the Son of God. In fact, you don't find it a lot in the Scriptures. He was the Son of God. He did testify to being the Son of God. But you don't find a lot of times where he just straightforwardly said he was the Son of God. But in this case, in answer to the question, he said, I am. I certainly believe that Jesus Christ answered perfect words. In fact, the very words, I am, those words may have struck a chord with some of those men that were there, and some of their minds may have very quickly went back to Exodus, the name that Moses was to give for God, I am that I am. Jesus Christ answered, I am. He also said, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Jesus Christ is asked about being the Son of God. But I find it interesting in his answer, he did say, I am, but he also said, you shall see the Son of Man. You shall see the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was, of course, both Son of Man and Son of God. And in this case, we might think about Jesus Christ speaking of himself as the Son of Man. And by the way, it's not unusual for Jesus Christ to use those words in the Gospels. But he spoke of himself as the Son of Man. Now, they were out to destroy Jesus. And yet, no matter what they did to Jesus, Jesus would come again. Jesus would appear in His glory. Jesus would come again, just as He said, sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? And so finally, and supposedly, they had the grounds that they needed to convict Jesus Christ on. And they convicted Him for telling the truth about who He was. Study the Scriptures, and that reveals what Jesus Christ was convicted for. Now, when they came to the conclusion, they had what they needed to convict Jesus Christ. After that so-called conviction, and even while He was in custody, there were calls for Jesus Christ to prove His claims. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 67 and 68, then did they spit in His face and buffeted Him, and others smote Him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who smote thee? When Jesus Christ is on the cross, Matthew 27, beginning with verse number 39, and they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. So think, number one, of prove that you are the Christ. Prove that you are the Christ by prophesying who smote you. Prove you are the Christ by coming down from the cross, or the Son of God by coming down from the cross. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 27 and verse 43, he trusted in God, let Him deliver him now if He will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. That came from the chief priests, scribes, and the elders. In Luke chapter number 23 and verse 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. Then the Bible says in Luke 23 and verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. There were three things in particular that Jesus Christ was called upon to prove while He was there upon the cross. Number one, He was called upon to prove that He was the King of the Jews. Number two, He was called upon to prove that He was the Christ. Number three, He was called upon to prove that He was the Son of God. The most powerful, we might say, of those, or the greatest of those, was the claim that Jesus was the Son of God. It is something, of course, that is very clearly taught in the Scriptures. In the past, I've spoken about that Jesus being the Son of God as the Armageddon for souls, or we might say the Valley of Megiddo for souls. And I believe that many a soul has been lost over that one question or over that one fact, Jesus is the Son of God, and there have been so many that have been unwilling to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and as the Jews understood it, He was God. Of course, Jesus Christ was Emmanuel. He was God in the flesh. He was God with us. He was called upon, while He was upon the cross, to prove He was the King of the Jews. He was the Christ. And especially we might consider this one, that He was the Son of God. But Jesus Christ could not, in the ways that He was challenged, prove that He was the Son of God. If Jesus Christ had come down from the cross, that's one of those things that we may consider, we may ask ourselves if, and yet it could not have happened. Jesus Christ the perfect Son of God would have never done anything outside of the will of God. But if Jesus Christ had come down from the cross, if Jesus Christ had saved Himself, He could not have been the Savior of men. Jesus Christ could not contradict the will and the Word of God and still be the perfect Savior, the perfect sacrifice for sinners. And so even though He was challenged, He could not do those things that He was challenged to do to prove that He was the King of the Jews, that He was the Christ, that He was the Son of God. But on the third day, lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. And up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Now, in rising from the dead, Jesus Christ, in accordance with the prophecies that had been made, in accordance with the will and the Word of God, Jesus Christ proved He was the Son of God. And the powerful declaration was made, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. God the Father was in agreement with it. God the Spirit was in agreement with it. God the Son, they were all in agreement on this. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And it was made clear, it was proven then, without transgressing the will and Word of God, it was proven that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now this subject of reasonable beliefs, Jesus Christ proved that great fact of Himself being the Son of God, like Aaron's rod that budded proved that He was the chosen one of God. When all the other rods did not bloom and bud and bring forth blossoms, Aaron's did, proving that He was the chosen of God. In the case of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He proved He was the Christ, He proves He was the Son of God. Now, in proving that He was the Son of God, it should give us a basis or an encouragement to believe every other claim that Jesus Christ made. Now, if a person does view things logically, then at times he might, and properly so, say, if this be so, then this is so as well. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse 32, and He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now that's proof of God's willingness to give us what we need. And a person may say, well, if He spared not His own Son, if He was willing to give us His Son, surely He'll give us any other thing that we need. And that's logical. It's brought out in the Scriptures. It is logical. There are other things, and I don't know how many of these we could go through, but we might consider if God is there, knows about the fall of the sparrow, well, certainly He knows about you, for you are worth more than many sparrows. And if God cares for the lily of the field, God cares for the fowl, well, certainly He cares about you and shall provide for you. And so, there are times that we may look at something and very logically say, if God did this, certainly He'll do that. Now, I know that we could get into dangerous territory if somebody's just making things up. But when you've got the Scripture, when you have the Word of God that states that Jesus Christ shall do things, and then you have the declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and is declared with power by the resurrection of the dead, when Jesus Christ proved that, it ought to make it easy for us to accept other things that Jesus Christ said and even are found in other parts of the Word of God. As long as we have the knowledge, I know that we need to know what God said so that we can trust what God said. But once we have the knowledge concerning what God said, it should not be hard for us to accept prophesied things in the Word of God. We realize that Jesus Christ prophesied His coming again, His rising from the dead, and He fulfilled His rising from the dead and proved He was the Son of God. So, we should have no doubt concerning other prophecies of Jesus Christ that they shall all come to pass. First of all, that Jesus is coming for the church. He is coming. And it should not be hard for us to believe that Jesus Christ is coming for the church. He came the first time, just as He said. He rose from the dead, just as He said. He is the Son of God, just as He said. And it should not be hard for us to accept the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again for the church. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 14 and verse number 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus Christ left, but Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again so that where He is, there we may be with Him also. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 24, and beginning with verse number 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." It should not be hard for us to believe that Jesus Christ is coming for the church. It should not be hard for us to realize that we should be ready, because just as it was in the days of Noah, people were just going about their business, doing what they did, marrying, giving in marriage, and all the things that they did, and they did not know. They did not know that the flood was going to hit, but then that day, Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and carried them away. This world is going about its business. Most do not believe in the coming of Jesus Christ for the church, the rapture of the church, but it shall happen just as He said. We ought to believe it shall happen just as He said. We ought to be preparing. And I believe that when Jesus Christ comes and the church is taken away, that alone is going to cause so many people to wonder what is going on when the church is taken from this world, when the best people upon the face of this earth are taken out of it. You think this world is bad now? You just wait till the best people are gone. Thank God there's still a little bit of salt and there's still a little bit of light left. But there's coming a time when that salt and light is going to be taken away, and Jesus Christ is going to, we're going to go through that time of the tribulation period upon this earth. That's the second thing. I don't think it should be hard for us to believe that there shall be a tribulation period upon this earth. In Matthew chapter number 25, Matthew 25. I'm going to stay over in this area, but in Matthew 25, verses 29 and 30. So that's not where I want to be. Let me go over to here to 24, verses 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now notice those words. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. The Bible speaks about the tribulation. The tribulation. I'm not going to go into great detail, but there's going to be a tribulation. There's going to be 7 years where God is pouring out His wrath upon this earth, the wicked earth. And I don't believe it should be hard for us to realize, to accept the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back for His own. We shall be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds. And Jesus Christ, when He takes the church out of here, then is going to pour out the wrath of God. The wrath of the Lamb is going to come upon this earth. And there's going to be a terrible tribulation period. There's so many things, of course, that are included in it. The book of the Revelation gives details. And I don't think it should be hard for us to accept that there shall be a terrible tribulation period upon this earth. And then as well, if we realize that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, through that there's a declaration that He is the Son of God, I don't think it should be hard for us to believe what is said about Jesus Christ being the judge of men. When the rapture takes place and we stand before God, all of us that are saved by the grace of God, when we stand before Jesus Christ, we shall stand before Jesus Christ as the judge. And we shall be rewarded for things that we have done that meet the proper criteria. We shall be rewarded for the gold, the silver, the precious stone works. And then all of our wood, hay, and stubble works shall be burned up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I think that we ought to be able to accept that easily. If we accept the fact Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He is the Son of God. In the book of John, it makes it very clear, Jesus Christ shall be the judge. For the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's in John 5:22. The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't think that ought to be hard to accept. And of course, at any time, Christ could come back for the church. I personally believe that we'll leave this earth, we'll go to be with the Lord in the air, and even before entering into heaven, the reward shall be given out, and then we shall continue on with Christ. Then, I don't believe it should be hard for us to accept the fact that after the tribulation period, Jesus Christ shall return to the earth. Once again, chapter 24, verses 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. I find it interesting that the Bible speaks about those things after the tribulation. And I think sometimes people include them in the tribulation. There's already been so many terrible things that have happened upon the earth. Then these things shall happen. And the Bible says, beginning of verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Then, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so Jesus Christ is coming again after the tribulation period. I don't believe it should be hard for us to accept that after the tribulation period, Matthew chapter number 25, there's going to be a judgment of nations. I believe that the nations shall be called forward, and God shall go through the people of the nations and shall judge them. And in that case, He shall judge them so that the sheep are on his right side, and the goats are on His left side, and the goats go to hell, and the sheep enter into the kingdom, the millennial kingdom. I don't believe it should be hard for us to accept the fact that there shall be a millennial kingdom, or there shall be a kingdom of Christ, if you want to call it that. There shall be a kingdom where Christ rules and reigns upon the face of this earth, and there's so much Scripture about the kingdom on earth. I don't think it should be hard for us to accept that if we understand Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that was a declaration that He was the Son of God. If we can accept that, it shouldn't be hard to accept. There should be a kingdom on earth. And then, I don't think it should be hard for us to accept the fact that after the kingdom on earth, and there's so many things that could be said about the kingdom, but after the kingdom on earth, the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed and the rebellion, there's the uprising against Christ, there's going to be a separation of the tares from the wheat, of the bad fish from the good fish. And I believe that's just basically, there's going to be a separation of the lost from the saved. Matthew 13, the Bible talks about the angels. And I believe the angels shall be employed in the severing or the separation of the lost from the saved. And of course, I believe that the lost will go to hell and the saved shall enter into the Father's kingdom. Now, there are so many things that Jesus Christ prophesied Himself. And then there are things that the Bible, sometimes Jesus Christ prophesied them, but we have much more detail elsewhere. But we should not have trouble accepting these, as it might be said, lesser truths, if we accept the fact that by Jesus Christ rising from the dead, a declaration was made that He is the Son of God. I think it is reasonable. If you accept that, I believe you ought to accept what He said elsewhere. If you accept the claims that He made, I am the Son of God. I am the Christ. If you accept that, I don't believe you ought to have trouble accepting other things that Jesus Christ taught. Thank the Lord that we have that wonderful declaration. Thank the Lord that by faith we can go back and we can look in an empty tomb. And we know He is not here, or He is risen from the dead. Thank the Lord that we can know that Jesus Christ left this earth, and this same Jesus shall come again in like manner. Thank the Lord we can know that Jesus Christ left this earth and He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank the Lord we can know Jesus Christ is going to take us that are saved by the grace of God to heaven. And it could happen at any time. I know the scoffers may say, oh, things have continued on as they have in the past, as Peter wrote. Well, the scoffers can say that if they want to. And the Lord may tarry. And I don't know, it may be longer than we would think before Jesus Christ comes back. But I know this, He'll do just what He said, and He'll be right on time. My obligation is to be ready. Be ready. Because Jesus is coming again. If you will, please stand.